Okay, let's begin. Now let's start again. I want to run through the psukim again from the beginning of Perek Lamed Vav, because the last 22 years of Bayis Rishon are rather complex. A lot of things happened. A lot of different events happened. And hey, I want to use this chart at least to get the perspective on what happened. We have this chart where it says from Malachim on the top left corner, it says Malachim Beis. On the right side is page Pevav, Teras Maram. It's a wonderful chart. It has here all of the kings, both the Malchei Yehuda and the Malchei Yisrael. And in fact, it shows how they intermarried. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, we focus primarily on the Malchei Yehuda. There's very little discussion about the Malchei Yisrael. The Malchei shall only discuss when it's necessary to relate to the Malchei Yehuda. Now, when you come all the way down to what's on the bottom, Menashe, by the way, over here, all the wives, it's a little bit confusing because you see over here all of the women, the queens, and the reason why that's necessary because we want to show how they married into each other's family. There was a mingling of the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael, which did not work out well. But it can be seen here on this handout. Okay, but let's take a look at the last. We go down to the bottom, Menashe and Amon. Okay, towards the bottom of the handout, we see Menashe was married to this woman Mishulemes, who had a child, Amon. Amon was married to this woman Yedida, and had a child, Yoshio. That's what we've been learning about the last couple of weeks. Even go a little bit up higher. This Ochos, then was Chizkiah, Menashe, Amon, Yoshiyahu, and you can see that Chizkiah married the daughter of Yeshayah. Chizkiah, you see, there's a he's married to Chefzivah. Chefzivah was the daughter of Yeshayah, and that's why they show that Yeshayah had a grandson, Menashe. Menashe was the grandson of Yeshayah because Chizkiah was married to Chefzibah. It's a little bit confusing because Chefzibah appears in two places. Yeshayahu has a daughter, Chefzibah, and then you see a dotted line taking her to Chizkiah, and then again her name appears again, Chefzibah, and from that came Menashe. So Menashe was the grandson of Yeshayahu, and we know that Menashe murdered Yeshayahu. He put him up to a trial. He claimed that Yeshayahu is a Navi Sheker, according to the Medrash. He was saying things which were says to the Torah. He put him to death. But in the meantime, he had a son, Amon, and then he had Yoshio. Now Yoshio, when he died prematurely. He died in the war of Megiddo. Four kings ruled after Yoshio until the Churban Beis Hamikdash, in a span of 22 years. Now, if you look on the very bottom, all the way down bottom, it shows this number 1, 2, 3, 4. Rishon l'malchus, sheni l'malchus, shlishi l'malchus, and revi'i l'malchus. Who was the oldest? Just look at the chart itself. Before we read the psukim again, we'll read the psukim very quickly, but who is the oldest child of Yoshiah? It was Eliakim. And notice Eliakim came from a different wife than Yehoiachos and Matanya. Yehoiakim came from this woman called Zavuda. I think she's mentioned in Sefer Melachim. She's not mentioned here. Yoshio came from this woman Zavuda, and they had one child, Eliakim, whose name was changed later to Yehoiakim, and he was the Bechor. He was his first son, and he was from the first wife, and it was meant to be he should have taken the place of Yoshio. The people did not want, because it seems from what we learned last week that Eliakim was willing to be loyal to Melech Mitzrayim, Paro Necho. Eliakim was willing to humble himself, to subjugate himself to Melech Mitzrayim. And the people, the Hamoin Am, the Am Haaretz, did not want that. The Am Haaretz wanted to rebel. They wanted their independence, their sovereignty, their autonomy. And therefore, they did not allow the natural heir to the throne, Eliakim, to take to rule. But instead, they appointed Yoshiyahu's second son from a different wife, from the wife of Hamutel, whose name was Yehoiachis. So you learn over there on the bottom, you read it with the here in the caption, Melech Yerushalayim Rishon, And what happened? He was king for a very short period of time. He was king only for 3.5 months, because as soon as he was appointed king, Melech Mitzrayim Paranucho was not pleased, because he knew that Yehoiachiz was the choice of the Am Aretz. Yehoiachiz was not willing to pay homage to Paranucho. He immediately came and conquered Yerushalayim and took Yehoiachiz as a captive to Mitzrayim, and he died there. Who then became the king, the second king? Then Paranucho himself decided who should have been king originally, Yehoiakim. Eliakim became the king. And he is, you see on the bottom, he was Sheni Lamalchus. And he was king for 11 years. During those 11 years, we're going to see the Rashi that we read very quickly last week, and we're going to read it again and go through, have another chart, we'll go through that Rashi in much more detail. During those 11 years, Paranucho was conquered. Paranucho was no longer in charge. The new boss in town was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar rose to power during the 11 years of Eliakim, and at one point in time there was no problem. For 3 years there was just there was peace, but then at a later point in time Eliakim rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and then Nebuchadnezzar came to conquer Eliakim. Now when Eliakim died, who took his place? So here it gets a little bit tricky. The son of Eliakim. He noticed Yoshia only had 3 sons. There are 4 kings who will rule during these last 22 years, but only 3 of those kings are direct children of Yoshiyahu. After Eliakim, whose name was changed to Yehoiakim, died, his son Yechoniah, who is known as Yehoiachin, took over. And he only was king for 3.5 months. So he hasn't come. This gets a little bit confusing. That both Yehoiachin and Yehoahaz ruled for 3.5 months. Okay, what's the significance? They all, I don't know exactly the same amount. It was 3 months and 10 days, but we call it 3.5 months for whatever reason. So those two, that's why it gets confusing. These are 2 kings who ruled during the last 22 years, who only ruled for 3.5 months. They were quickly removed by the world powers. Yehoiachiz was removed by Paranucho, and Yehoiachin was removed by Nebuchadnezzar. Who did Nebuchadnezzar appoint in his place? He went back up a generation. He went to Yehoiachin's uncle, to Matanya. Who was Matanya? Matanya was otherwise known as Tzidkiyahu, who was the last king. He was there for the last 11 years, approximately 11 years, until the actual Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, and he was taken captive, he was taken down to Babel. So these are the 4 kings who ruled during the last 22 years. 3 were children of Yoshiyahu, 1 in the middle was a child of Eliakim, 2 of them ruled for 3.5 months, the other 2 ruled for 11 months. They spanned the kuf of 2 major world powers, Paranucho and Nebuchadnezzar. Now that we know the order, we understand a little bit why, and we know the 2 wives of Yoshiyahu, and understanding why who was meant to be king, Eliakim was meant to be king, but then it was changed because the people did not want to be loyal to Paranucho, and then Paranucho insisted on appointing Eliakim, and then later went back to his other son, Matanya, who's known as Tzidkiyahu. So with that in mind, let's just read the Pesukim again very quickly, just to put everything in perspective, and then we'll do that Rashi, which we have to come back to. So it's Perek Lamed Vav Pasuk. Pasuk Aleph, Vayikhu Am Haaretz Es Yehoi Ochos. Yoshio has died. Now who is going to become the new king? So the people themselves step up. Paranucho, although Paranucho was very powerful, Paranucho did not interfere with Klal Yisrael at this point in time. He just stood at the sidelines to see who people are there, who are going to appoint. Yehoiachiz ben Yoshiyahu, Vayamlichu Tachas Av Yerushalayim, appointed Tachas his father in Yerushalayim. Pasuk Beis, Ben Sholosh V'eshim Shona Yehoiachiz b'molcho, he was 23 years old. Yehoiachiz, Ushloisha Chodoshim Molach b'Yerushalayim, he was king for 3 months. Vayisireyu HaMelech Mitzrayim b'Yerushalayim, he removed him. The Melech Mitzrayim removed him b'Yerushalayim from ruling over Yerushalayim. Vayanosh es ha'aretz, and he punished the people for their rebellion, for daring to appoint a king who would be not loyal to Paranucho. He punished the people by demanding from them they pay tribute. Vayanosh es ha'aretz mea kikar kesef v'chikar zahav, 100 talents of silver and 1 talent of gold, an enormous amount of money. Who did he appoint in this place? Pasuk Dal, Vayamlech Melech Mitzrayim es Eliakim, Achiv, his brother. Al Yehuda, El Yakim was the brother from a different wife, from Zevuda. Al Yehuda Yerushalayim, Vayaseh Veshmo Yehoyakim, like we learn Yehoyakim, that he put an oil, he put a yoke upon the Jewish people, I'm pointing him because this one will be loyal to me. He will pay homage to me. V'yes ye yo ochos achiv lokach necho vayevio Mitzrayim. He brought him down to Mitzrayim. How old was Eliakim when he became king? Well, he was older, so he was 25 years old. Ben eshrim v'chamed shana Yehoyakim b'molcho v'achas esrei shana molach b'yushan. He ruled for 11 years. Vayas harab b'enei Hashem l'kav. In this last week, he was extremely evil. He was even worse than Omoin. He had tattoos on. He made a tattoo on his aver, and he did some other horrible things. Although it says the Chazal that he did, that he had relations with all of the forbidden relations in one shot. His mother, his daughter-in-law, and his sister. Okay, so you want to talk about a person that's thoroughly corrupt, this is the person. Allah against him, during the 11 years we discussed, during those 11 years, Allah Nebuchadnezzar Melch Babel, Vaya Asrei, also he wore Kalayim, there's a whole list of things that he wore. He was machmir to wear Kalayim. He wore Kalayim. What else? I don't remember. But that was one of the big things about Yehoyakim. Allah Nebuchadnezzar Melch Babel. During that, we're going to see the Rashi in a few moments. That's the second handout. During those 11 years, world power changed from Paro Necho to Nebuchadnezzar Melch Babel. Vaya Asreyu Ban Chushtayim, and he shackled him in copper chains L'Chelichoy Babel to take him to Babel. Umikleves Hashem Hevi, from the clay, not all of the kelim, some of the select kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, Hevi Nebuchadnezzar L'Babel, Vayitnein Beheicholoy B'Babel, and he put in his palace B'Babel in Babel. V'yeser Diva Yehoyakim V'Soya V'Yisav Asher Asa V'anim So'olav, the tattoo that was found on his body, Hinam Kisuvim Al Sefer Malchei Yisrael the Yehuda Vayimloch Yehoyachin Beno Tachtav, who took his place, Yehoyachin. Okay, so that's what we mentioned on the handout. It's no longer the son of Yoshio. It went down to his own son, Yehoyachin. How old was Yehoyachin when he became king? Ben Shmoineh Shanim Yehoyachin Bemochin. And we're going to learn a very interesting Rashi, that Yehoyachin was really considered to be a continuation of Eliakim. Now we're going to see, just throw it out right now, we'll see the words inside Rashi later on, there's a contradiction. Here it says he was 8 years old when he became king. However, in Malachim it says he was 18 years old when he became king. So how do we resolve the discrepancy? So Rashi explains, it's a very important yisod, that in the first year, Eliakim was king for 11 years. After 1 year of being king, he realized that his malchus is weak. And if he dies, it's not likely, it's very possible that his children, his child, the malchus will be taken from him. It would go to a different branch, to an uncle, or maybe who knows who would go to. So he wanted immediately to strengthen the malchus, his zera, that his descendant should be king, that he made his son already the king in his lifetime. In the second year of his malchus, he already was semi-retired. And the one that was acting as king was his son. He put his son in Mizrach, his son got Shlishi, and his son got all the kibudim, and he was the Rosh HaMedabrim for the institution. So that when he would die, there should be no suffix who the next melech would be. So that's how we answer the discrepancy. Here it says that he was 8 years old. The truth is, he was eight. When it's Malachim, it says he was 18. The truth is that when he died, that when Eliakim died, 11 years into his malchus, when he was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, and he was taken to Mitzrayim, and he died, and we're taking to Babel, and he died. So at that point in time, his son was 18 years old. So why then does it say here that he was 8 years old? Because already in the second year of his malchus, of Eliakim's malchus, he already appointed his son as acting king. So that's why that he was. It's considered to be already a king in a much earlier stage. How long did he remain as king? He was king for 3 months and 10 days. Molach birush shaloyim. It's very rare that the pasuk records days. We know that kings, we only record years. We don't even record months. Here, not only are we recording that he was king for 3 months, we're even recording the days. 10 days. And the 10 days do not appear in Sefer and Malachim, which is very curious. And to this, the Mefarshim explained that it was very precious. It was very precious that I don't know. Perhaps he was a very big. He was a Rasha. So I don't know why we. For some reason, it was the last continuation of the Malchus of Yisrael. Okay, I'm not exactly sure why, but it's something interesting. Why here we emphasize in Divrei Hayamim the 10 additional days, the 10 additional days of the Malchus of Yehoyachin. Malach b'Yushalayim, v'yasra b'enei Hashem, he was evil. Now this pasuk is a little bit difficult. Pasuk v'lishuvas hashana. It was a year later. Now a year later is difficult because we just said it was only 3 months. He was king for 3 months and 10 days. So what it means here, a year later, means that although he was deposed, he was removed from king, things did not happen very quickly. Everything took time until a new king would be put in place and until his exile was complete. So let's see, Vilis Shuva Sashana, it was a year later, Sholach HaMelech Nebuchadnezzar, the Nebuchadnezzar sent for him, Vayivyehu Bavela, could be that he was no longer king, but he was still living in Yerushalayim. He was just, there was a coup, he was thrown out of the palace, he was in prison. But a year later, to make sure there would be no trouble, Nebuchadnezzar sent for him. He was brought down to Bavel in clay chemdas beis Hashem. So here we have now the second time the kelim were taken from Eretz Yisrael. A total of three times. See, we have before in pasuk. Zayin umiklei beis Hashem hevi Nebuchadnezzar lebavel vayidin heichel lebavel. It was put in his heichel. Here is the second, the first time when he conquered, when Yehoyakim was appointed king. That was the first time the kelim were exiled. Here is the second time the kelim were exiled when Eliakim was deposed, and his son Yehoyachin was appointed in this place. And when was the third time the kelim were taken to exile? At the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. So it's an interesting idea that there were three tkufas when the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash were taken from Yerushalayim to Bavel. Three different times. The first time when Yehoyachin was appointed during that time period he was appointed by Paro Necho, but in the middle of his reign when he rebelled, Nebuchadnezzar came and he took the kelim. The second time was when he died, when he was taken captive, and the third time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Pasuk Yud, one more time. Pasuk Yud. V'lishuvas Hashana Shalach Melech Nebuchadnezzar Vayivir Bavela. He took him to Bavel and Klei Beis Chanas Beis Hashem. Vayamlech Et Tzidkiyo Achiv Al Yehuda V'Yushalayim. And now, who did he appoint over as the new king? He appointed as the new king Tzidkiyahu, who was known as Matanya. Look on the chart. Matanya now became the new king. How old was this new king? Ben Eshem v'Achas Shonu Tzidkiyahu b'Malcho. He was 21 years old. The Achas Esrei Shonu Molach b'Yusham. He was king for 11 years. The last 11 years. Vayas Harab Yinei Hashem Elokav. Lei Nichna Milifnei Yirmiyo Hanav Mipi Hashem. Now Tzidkiyahu, Chazal tell us, was a very, very great tzaddik. When it says here, Vayas Harab Yinei Hashem Elokav, the pasuk says that he only committed one sin. The only sin he committed was he did not listen to Yirmiyah. What did Yirmiyah tell Tzidkiyahu? That he should surrender Yerushalayim to Nebuchadnezzar. If Yirmiyah would have surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar would not have destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. The Jewish people would have been slaves, they would have been exiled, and they would have, those who were allowed to remain in Yerushalayim would have been required to pay tribute and to be slaves to Nebuchadnezzar, but the Hamoin Am would not have been murdered, would not have been killed, and the Mikdash would have survived. And the history of Klal Yisrael would have been very, very different. Tzidkiyahu disagreed with the words of the Navi, of Yirmiyah, and he felt that we're not going to give in to this Russia and Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to rebel, we're not going to budge one inch. And because the Navi, he did not listen to the Navi, that's why the Pasuk here says, Vayasara. The Gam, Bamelech Nebuchadnezzar Morat, he rebelled. Asher Hishpio Belokim, Yitzidkiyahu, in the beginning, when Nebuchadnezzar appointed Tzidkiyahu as king, every so often he was invited to come down to Babel to participate in a conference. And at this conference, all of the world leaders, a summit, some type of all the G8, everyone was there, all the big world leaders were there to participate in this conference. During this conference, during the lunch break, so everyone had their special little quarters, special little room where they went in to eat lunch, and they had a private meal with their family. So Tzidkiyahu, one time, he by mistake, he went into the wrong room. Instead of going into his chamber where they were serving his lunch, he went into the chamber where they were serving the Nebuchadnezzar lunch. And what did he see the Nebuchadnezzar do? He was eating a rabbit. He was eating a live rabbit. So Tzidkiyahu was shocked. This is what you do, such a dignified king, the Nebuchadnezzar. This is what you do, you eat the Avim and Achai. It's not Lufi Kvoida, it's such barbarian to do such a thing. So Tzidkiyahu said, you know, you saw something you should not have seen. I don't want the world to know. It's not going to be good for my reputation. It goes public online that this is what I do. I eat live animals. They're not going to, all of the animal rights people, they're not going to be happy with this. So I want you to swear by Hashem, by your God, you won't reveal the secret to anyone. So Tzidkiyahu, he swore. He swore to him that he won't tell anyone. Later, years later, when Tzidkiyahu rebelled, when Nebuchadnezzar was making trouble, and he was making demands upon Klal Yisrael that were overwhelming, Tzidkiyahu decided, enough of this Meshuggah, no, we don't want to know from him, we're going to rebel, we're not going to pay taxes, we're not going to pay tribute, we're going to distance ourselves. And then the people, he did not get such support. He had a hard time. People were giving Tzidkiyahu a hard time. Why are you going to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar? So in order to tell the people that the Nebuchadnezzar is a good for nothing, he slipped. And he slipped. He went to the Sanhedrin and said, I want to be Matir Neder and reveal to you what a cruel person this individual is. He eats living animals. And the Sanhedrin was Matir Hishua, and he revealed this information as a technique in order to degrade the honor of the Nebuchadnezzar in the eyes of the world. When the Nebuchadnezzar found out what happened, he was furious. And not only was he furious at Tzidkiyahu, he was furious at the Sanhedrin for being Matir his Neder. And he held him accountable, and that's why later he came, when he conquered Yerushalayim, he took every one of the Sanhedrin, he killed them, and he tortured them. He tortured them for being matir his neder. So this one is over here. V'gam lechnu nusan barad asher hishpil b'lokim. He made him swear by Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Vayekesh es arpo. He hardened his neck, the back of his neck. Vayameitz es lelovo. He strengthened his heart. Mishuv el Hashem lokei Yisrael. From doing tshuva, he did not do tshuva. He did not return to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The people were sitting, they were backsliding, doing avodah zara. He did not do tshuva. He did not listen to the navi, and he wanted to rebel against the Nebuchadnezzar. Gam kol sori hakoyhan v'om hirbul dim. Furthermore, all of the Kohanim, the people, they continue to transgress against, like all of the sins of the nations. They contaminated the Beis Hamikdash, which was sacred, they sanctified in Yerushalayim. What did Hashem do? So here the pasuk tells us the Siddiq Hadin. We'll see Rashi later on. Hashem says, I destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, but not it wasn't a sudden event. I gave you ample warning. Vayishlach Hashem Elokei Avosehem Alehem V'yad Malachav, to his messengers. Messengers here refers to the Nevi'im. Hashkem V'shaloyach, early and continuously. V'shloch means to continuously send forth. Hashem from time immemorial and continuously sent Nevi'im to warn Klal Yisrael to do tshuva. Ki chomal al amo v'yal me'ono. Hashem had compassion upon his people and upon his abode. This is a very rare usage of the word. The word me'ono in Tanakh always refers to Shemayim. Hashkifa mimo'oin kotshecha min Hashemayim. Here the word... No. There in the pasuk it's clearly referring to the heaven, the heavenly abode. Sha'asimcha, one of the brachas said by Sheva Bracha, Sha'asimcha bimo'oinoi. The simcha is Hashem's abode. There is no true simcha in this world. And here the word mo'ino is referring to the Beis Hamikdash, which is very, very weird and very disturbing. That's not really what the word mo'ino means. And from here we learn that what's happening at the last psukim of Divrei Hayamim is turning into a poem. it's turning into like a piyut, and we're taking words that are not out of its literal sense in the more poetic sense, which is very rare for Divrei Hayamim. This is something more typical of a Sefer Yeshaya, something from Nevi'im. It's not typical way to use words in Divrei Hayamim, in the Ksuvim. In Ksuvim, besides Tehillim, we talk about the narrative part of Ksuvim, of Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Divrei Hayamim. Those parts of Ksuvim, the words are very literal. They're not meant to be. They're not poetic. Okay, Tehillim is different. Mishlei is different. But here is something very rare. The end of the Rahim, Hashem had compassion upon His people, Yalmanu, upon His Beis Hamikdash, which is an extension of Hashem's heavenly abode. Pasuk Tezayin, Vayihu Mal Ivim. What was the sin? They mocked. Okay, the different translations will just for now use the word they mocked b'malchei holakim, the people they mocked the prophets, uvoizim devarav, and they disgraced their words, umitatim b'neviyof, and they made mockery. Okay, it's similar according to the Mitsudos, he translated inyan lag ki vayisir kimatatea. Targum unkelus kimisaleif, mockery. It's another word, according to the Targum, the Malivim and Umitatim is the same thing. For our purpose, the same thing. Beneviyav, they deceived. They made fun of them. They mocked them. The Neviyav, Ad Alois Hamas Hashem Biyabo Viad Lein Marpi, until Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry about his people to the point where there was no return. It was impossible for Klal Yisrael to be healed from their sins. Vayal Aleihem Es Melech Kastim. So what did Hashem do? Hashem brought upon them the king of Kastim. And notice here changes from Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. There's a very interesting switch. There's Bavel and there are the Kastim. Kastim, they're two different parts of the nation of Bavel. The Kastim let's leave it for now. But just we'll take note of that for now. And the king, he killed their young men by sword in the Beis Mikdash. V'lechamal al bachur v'sulo zokin v'yoshesh hakol nosan v'yado. Hashem no compassion. Hashem allowed Melch Bavel to destroy the young boys, young girls. The zokin v'yoshesh. Yoshesh means something that's very old. Zokin means old, and yoshesh means very old. Hakol nosan biyado. Pas yitches v'chol klei beis holikim hagedolim hakatanim v'yitzros beis Hashem v'yitzros hamelech v'sarov hakol hevi vavel. The third time. Okay, so here we have now the third time where we find the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash were taken to Bavel. Here it does not say beheicholo, does not say to his palace. That was what happened to the kelim the second time. Here it just says was taken to Bavel. Notice that this is the king of the Kastim. The king of the Kastim is taking the kelim not to the Kastim, but is taking the kelim to Bavel. It's not exactly the same. Okay, what is the significance? I do not know. Vayishrifu es beis hulakim, they burned the beis hamikdash. Vayinatetsu es chemas Yerushalayim. There are two separate things. There's the churban beis hamikdash, and there are the chemos of Yerushalayim. We learned Ezra Nehemiah how much emphasis was given to building the walls. The walls represent something different than the beis hamikdash. The beis hamikdash itself represents asei tov, and the walls represent the concept of sur meira. Two different concepts. The walls are a deterrent. It's a harchoka to guard. There's always two parts in Yadus. Asur meira va'asei tov. Here it says that Nebuchadnezzar, he made a breach both in the positive aspect of Klal Yisrael and in their koyach, at least to refrain from doing evil. The Eis Chemas Yerushalayim, the Chol Armin Oisecha, Sarfavesh, all of the palaces he burnt in fire, the Chol Klei Machamadecha Lahashchis, and here it says something different. Here it says that besides the fact that he took a lot of the precious kelim to Bavel, there were many precious kelim that he did not take to Bavel, but instead he decided to destroy them as a way of showing lahachis. I don't need your money. I don't want your money. I just want to destroy you. I want to rebel against your God. Vayegel hasheiris menacherev el bavel. Those that survived death, the people that were not killed in this destruction, they were exiled. Those that survived the sword, they were exiled el bavel. Vayihi lo ulvanav lavadim. They became slaves and servants to the king of Nebuchadnezzar. Ad Niloich Malchus Pras. This went on until the king of Pras, until Koresh 52 years later became the king. Lemaloi Stavar Hashem. Why did this happen? All this happened to fulfill the words of Yirmiyahu, that there would be a Churban for 70 years. 52 years later is when the process began. It was not complete until 18 years later, which was 70 years. In order to fulfill the prophecy of Yirmiyahu, Lemaloi, to fulfill Devar Hashem, the word of Hashem, Befi Yirmiyahu, Ad Rotzis Soho Aretz Es Shabbos Hasecho, until the land will be appeased. The land Eretz Yisrael was in pain, that the Jewish people did not fully observe the laws of Shemitah. They did not fully appreciate the sanctity of the land. Just like we have Shabbos Kodesh, it represents the holiness of the world of time. Observing Shemitah is a recognition of the holiness of the land. The fact that people worshipped idols and did averos in Eretz Yisrael showed they did not appreciate the holiness of the land. And that was expressed in their failure to observe Shemitah. They did not fully observe Shemitah the way it was meant to be. And then the deeper meaning was, they didn't appreciate the holiness of the land. The earth was upset, and the earth needed to be appeased. How was the earth appeased? For 70 years, the earth rested. There was no one living, there was no one doing work, there was nothing happening for 70 years. And that made up for the 70 Shemitahs that were not observed from the time that Bnei Yisrael came into the land until the Churban, which Rashi explains in great detail. And I have here a handout which we'll go through to see the calculation of how the seventy years correspond to 70 Shemitahs. So the Ad Ratzaret Shab Sesech, Kol Yimei Hashama, all the days of the Hashama, the destruction, all the days, the 70 years of desolation, Shavasa, the earth now finally rested, Lemalois, in order to make up for Shivshon of the 70 years. Pasuk Chavez, Vishnas Achas, the Choresh Melech Peras, in the first year of Koresh, king of Peras, which is 52 years after the Churban, Lechlos, Devar Hashem Befi Yirmiya, at the end, 52 years, to conclude the word of Hashem Befi Yirmiya, to conclude that this was now putting an end to the punishment that Klal Yisrael received through Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah told Klal Yisrael, you're going to be punished for your sins. Now this punishment will now come to an end. Heyir Hashem aroused Esruach Koresh Melech Peras Vayaver Kol B'chol Malchuso. He issued a proclamation throughout his entire kingdom, Begam B'michtav Lemar, also in writing, saying, Koyamar Koresh Melech Peras Kol Mamlechos Aretz Nosan Li Hashem Elokei Shamayim V'ufokad Alay. He commanded me, Liv Noslo Bayis B'Yushalayim Asher B'Yehuda Mi B'chem, anyone Mikol Amo Hashem Elokav Imo, anyone with whom Hashem is with, the Yohal, let him go up. Let him go up to Yerushalayim. You now have permission to go and rebuild your Beis HaMikdash. These are the same sukkim that appear in the beginning of Sefer Ezra, because Sefer Ezra picks up with what at this point in time. So there's a hemshuch between Divrei HaYamim and the beginning of Sefer Ezra. Okay, let's run through. Let's first do the Rashi, which we have to do from last time. Then we'll see the Mitzvot in the Perek and the Rashis and some Midrashim to tie up the end of the Perek. The first thing we have to do is go back to Rashi. Rashi says that it was in the... okay, give me 1 second to find the place. Okay, let me pasuk Zayin. Now, I gave you a handout, a second handout. Okay, it's on page... The handout is page Pei Beis. And Rashi Pasuk Zayin says, "Umiksas klei beis Hashem." We're talking now at the time when Eliakim, who is now known as Yehoyakim, was exiled. He was taken. Nebuchadnezzar came to power, and Nebuchadnezzar conquered Yerushalayim, and he exiled Yehoyakim, and he appointed his son in his place, Yehoyakim, for 3 months. 3 months and 10 days. So it says here in Pasuk Zayin that he took the Kelim of the Beis Hashem, Lebal Vayidna Beheichola B'Yerushalayim. Now Rashi says, "Umiksas klei beis Hashem v'alzeh nisnabi Yirmiyahu koyam Hashem tzivakos Elokei Yisrael ala kelim hanoisarim." Period. Okay, this is a reference. This was a fulfillment. The fact that the Kalim were now taken at this time to Bavel was a fulfillment of the words of the prophecy of Yirmiyahu that this indeed would happen. Period. Umakshe b'seder oylam. In the Seder Oilam, which is a medrash on Jewish history, there is the question. Problem is, b'shnas shalosh l'malchus Yehoyakim melech Yehuda v'yitein Hashem b'yadai. It says in Sefer Melachim that this event took place in the third year of the Malchus of Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim was king for 3 years, and in his third year, Nebuchadnezzar comes, and he conquers Jehoiakim, and takes him into exile, and appoints his son Jehoiachin in his place. The problem is, here it's clear as day that this took place in the 11th year. V'kan moichiach shehoya biyud aleph l'malchus. We're learning here in this pasuk, it's very clear that he was king for 11 years. That's how we started. We started here, look at pasuk hey, ben eshrim v'chamei shana, Yehoyakim b'molcho, the achas esrei shana molach b'Yerushalayim, he was king for 11 years. Vayas hara b'enei Hashem elokav, and all of Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel, vayas sheb b'nuchushtayim lo'elich Bavel, lo'o mikle b'es Hashem hevi Nebuchadnezzar l'Bavel, vayidim lo'elich l'Bavel, and then it goes on to say that the replacement was Yehoyachin. So how do we reconcile this contradiction where it says here clearly that Yehoyakim was king for 11 years, whereas in Sefer Melachim it says he was king for only 3 years? What then does it mean? In 3 years of his rebellion, that it says in Shnemar, it says in Melachim Beis, Vayihilo Yehoyakim Eved Shloisha Shonim, Vayosha Vayimrod Boy Shloisha. So now he begins to explain. So let's look at the chart. Okay, let's first look at the chart, then we'll see the words of Rashi inside. In this chart we see here the 11 years, the 11 dots, the 11 years of Eliakim. Eliakim starts out, he was 25 years old. He was king for 4 years. In his fourth year of Malchus, Nebuchadnezzar comes to power. Now we learned this part. If you look at the caption on the left side, in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus, it says that year Nitzchoy Nebuchadnezzar es Melech Mitzrayim b'Melchama b'Shana Harivis liYehoyakim b'Karkemish. Okay, Karkemish was an ongoing battle. There were a lot of activities taking place there in Karkemish. Karkemish was the place where Paro Necho wanted to go to battle against who? Against Melech Ashur, and indeed he succeeded. Paro Necho succeeded. He went to Karkemish and conquered Karkemish. But 4 years into the Malchus of Eliakim, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, comes to Karkemish, and there he conquers Karkemish and sends Paro Necho back home to Egypt. So who's now the new boss in town in Karkemish? Nebuchadnezzar. So in the caption on the left side it says Nitzcho b'lmuchamash b'shon harviyis liyoyakim b'karkemish al nahar pras kakosu b'sefer yirmiya v'lihoysif oid melech mitzrayim lotzeis me'artso ki lokach melech bovel minachal mitzrayim al nahar pras kol asho hoyil melech mitzrayim. 4 years after Paro Necho conquered Karkemish from Melech Ashur, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, conquered Karkemish from Paro Necho. Now what happened? Now Nebuchadnezzar, the next year he comes, he enters into Yerushalayim, and he tells the people of Yerushalayim, Tel Yehoyakim, I am the new boss. In the fourth year, that's now you go down in the second, you go down to where it says number 5, Eliakim. Eliakim's fifth year, which was the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. The caption on the left side says, L'chein kovash Nebuchadnezzar es Yehoyakim. He conquered Yehoyakim, which was in this fifth year, Berishayna, V'halichoy l'bavel, V'kibel Yehoyakim alatzma liyois le'eved v'hechziru. So here we have inside, it says this, in the Midrash, it doesn't say this beforehand in the Pasuk, that Yehoyakim was taken as a captive to Mitzrayim, and he promised to behave. Yehoyakim said to Nebuchadnezzar, he was taken as a captive, and he promised to behave, and Nebuchadnezzar said, fine, go back and behave yourself. How long did he behave himself for? For 3 years. year 6, 7, 8. Year 5 was a turbulent year. That was the year when he was conquered. He was taken down to Mitzrayim and he was returned. And he was loyal to him for 3 years. Year 6, 7, 8. Then, after being loyal for 3 years, he said to his people, enough of this Nebuchadnezzar, enough of him, we're going to rebel. How many years did he rebel for? For 3 years. 9, 10, 11. And now we understand when it says in Sefer Melachim that it was in the third year of Yehoyakim, is when Nebuchadnezzar came and conquered. It doesn't mean the third year, it means the third year of his rebellion, which was 11 years into his Malchus. So it was a long story. 4 years were very peaceful, no trouble. In the fourth year, Nebuchadnezzar and Karkemish became the new world power. That had nothing to do with the people of Yerushalayim at that point in time. A year later, Nebuchadnezzar shows up at the front door of Yerushalayim and says, I'm in charge. And he takes with him the king Yehoyakim down to Bavel. He sends him back that year and he promises to be good. 3 years he's good, and then for the next 3 years he rebels, and then after that rebellion is when Nebuchadnezzar says enough is enough, I'm coming to conquer. He comes to conquer, he takes him down to Bavel, he dies on the way. Who does he appoint in his place? He appoints in his place his son Yehoyachin. Now what happened when he appointed Yehoyachin? I'm just to tell you some medrash. He appoints Yehoyachin, he goes back to Nebuchadnezzar, he goes down back to Bavel, and he tells the people, tell what happened. I went there to Yerushalayim, I took Yehoyachin with me, and he died on the road, so that's why he's not here, he's dead. He died, and I just threw him off the carriage, and I let the dogs eat him up, and so I said, well, who's the new king? I put his son, appointed his son. So his advisor says, you foolish king, Nebuchadnezzar. What kind of king are you? You appoint his son. The son will be as loyal to you like the father. Just like the father was not alone and rebelled against you, the son will also rebel against you. So Nebuchadnezzar said, you're right. I made a big mistake. You don't appoint a son to take over the father. He went back.
What was the son's name?
Yehoyachin.
Yehoyachin.
Three years and 10 days.
No, 3 months.
3 months. 3 months and 10 days. 3 months and 10 days.
He said, bye-bye, Charlie.
So, why did he say bye-bye? Because his advisor said to him, you're a fool. His advisors told the king Nebuchadnezzar, you're a fool. How do you go and appoint the son of a person if his father rebelled for 3 years? Well, do you think the son's not going to rebel? He's also going to rebel. So Nebuchadnezzar said, you're right. He went back and he took Yehoyachin, he says, you're coming with me to Bavel, you're going to come with me as a prisoner, and I'm going to appoint your uncle as the new king, Matanya. He changed Matanya to Tzidkiyahu. Why did he call him Tzidkiyahu? He said to me, if you rebel against me, Tzidkiyahu, Hashem should be matzdik alecha es hadin. You should be matzdik the din. I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to destroy the whole Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, and you have no one to blame except yourself. You'll have to be matzdik alecha es hadin. That's one of the reasons why he called him Tzidkiyahu. Now when he took Yehoyachin with him, this was a very important, significant event, because not only did he take with him Yehoyachin, he took with him the Chorosh v'Hamasker. Now what does it mean, the Chorosh v'Hamasker? So simply means the craftsman. Why did he take with him all the craftsmen? He wanted to prevent them from rebelling. People who were specialists in metals and different skills, because you can't rebel against the world power unless you have weapons. You have to have expertise in building nuclear missiles. If you don't have the scientists who know how to build you don't have the technology, then you're not going to rebel. So the Chorosh v'Hamasker were the experts, according to the very simple level, were people who were craftsmen, who had the know-how to build weapons and to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. So he told Klal Yisrael, all of you, all of the university students are coming with me, so there should not be any problems. Chazal read into the word Chorosh v'Hamasker a much greater significance than just ordinary people who know how to know technology, but it refers to the Talmidei Chachamim. The Talmidei Chachamim of the people, they were all taken into Golus, and that was a blessing in disguise, because in Bavel for 11 years, for the last 11 years, they set up shop in Bavel to prepare for the Chor Beis HaMikdash, so that when all of the Goyim would come, and 11 years later, there already would be an institution for learning to guarantee the continuity of Klal Yisrael in Golus. Okay, so over here, now we have this back, and we can go back to the Rashi. Rashi says three lines from the top in the Rashi, on the left side, Vayihilo Yehoyakim Eved Shloisha Shanim. Yehoyakim was a slave. I go back to the second line. What then does it mean that he threw 3 years into the rebellion? Shenemar. Vayihilo Yehoyakim Eved. Before he rebelled, he was first a slave to Nebuchadnezzar for Shloisha Shanim, for 3 years. That is year on this chart, 5, 6, 7. Vayoshov, Vayimroid Boy Shloisha Shanim. He then rebelled against him for year 9, 10, 11. Uvishnash Shloisha Lumirdo. Allah, Allah, he went and he destroyed him, he exiled him, he killed him. This happens to be the 8th year of the Malchus of the Nebuchadnezzar. Count on the side. You see the Nebuchadnezzar, he started in the year 4 of Eliakim. So when you go down from year 4 to 11, that means he's been king now for 8 years. The 8th year of the Nebuchadnezzar. The Omar Mar, Shana Rishayna, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, Kovash Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Ashur. Okay, because that was the same thing as conquering Carchemish. Carchemish, well, he did really two things. He conquered Carchemish, we know that from Yirmiyah, but his major achievement was he conquered Melech Ashur, Nineveh. That's what he accomplished in the first year of his Malchus. Sheniah, the second year of the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, Kovash Yehoyakim. He conquered Melech Yehoyakim. He took him down to Bavel. He made him promise that he would be loyal. He sent him back. Ushloisha shanim moradbo. And then, 3 years, Ushloisha shanim moradbo. And 3 years, the last 3 years, year 9, 10, 11, he rebelled. Vuhu loy molach kiim bishnas arbo li yohoyakim. And Nebuchadnezzar, first reviewing the facts, became king 4 years into the Malchus of Yehoyakim, Shenemar, Bishnas Revius, Li Yehoyakim and Yoshiyahu, Melech Yehuda, Hi Hashona Harishona, Li Nebuchadnezzar. So we get over here this very important timeline to understand, to put everything into perspective, the king, exactly what happened with Nebuchadnezzar, the last 22 years. First Yehoi Ochaz for 3 months, then he was replaced with Yehoyakim. He was king for 4 years, and then there is a new world power, Nebuchadnezzar. He comes in, that year he conquered Nineveh, second year he comes and he conquers Yehoyakim, 3 years he's good, 3 years he rebels, and then he is deposed, his son is appointed in his place, and then the son is removed, and the last king is appointed, Tzidkiyahu, which goes on for the last 11 years. Okay, let's go.
The story of Yonah, it was much earlier.
Yonah, the story of Yonah of Nineveh was much earlier. Yeah. Much earlier. Okay, Vahanim Solov, okay, let's go to the next Rashi. Hanim Solov, now we're referring to the tattoos. If you want to learn more about Yehoyakim and all of his abominations, Vahanim Solov, Koseves Kaka, the tattoo. This was his legacy. The tattoo, Machlex in the Gemara, was it the Shem Hashem or the Shem of Zara? Either way.
It's Shem Hashem. It's against
What? What did you say? It's against Hashem? He was worse. Chazal said he was worse than. What?
The guy who did the tattoo today.
This is a public statement. This was the worst of the worst. Now, by the way, the Gemara asked a very interesting question. The Gemara has a question. The Gemara doesn't really give an answer. Why wasn't he listed among the kings that do not have a chelik in Olam Haba? The Gemara says there are three kings. There is Yeravam ben Nevat. There is Achav. And there is Menashe was a question. The Yeshua about Menashe was a third king. Yeravam ben Nevat. Achav. I forgot who was the third one. Okay, and then we have Menashe. What about Yehoyakim? Yehoyakim was even worse. So the Gemara doesn't really answer the question. The Gemara just leaves it as a question. It's not clear what the Gemara means. So the Mepharshim, the answer that he has a chelik in Olam Haba because he had a merit. Now, what the merit was, it's not clear. But he had enormous disgrace in his death. He died a very disgraceful death where he was taken by Nebuchadnezzar. he was and he died on the road. The simple understanding is he died on the road on the way to the Bavel. He died in the chariot because they tortured him. They put him in chains, and they just threw his body onto the road. And dogs ate up his flesh. It was such a disgraceful death that, to some degree, served as a kapara. And he does have a chelik l'olam haba, which has to then mean that he had some zechus. Now, what the zechus was, I'm not sure. He had other, in order to have a misa of a bezoyon in this world, which will enable him to come l'olam haba, means there was zechus. Now, the medrashim are much more elaborate in his death. According to the similar sitting of his death, he was taken as a prisoner and he died on the road. He was thrown off the chariot and donkeys ate him. According to the Midrashim, it was a lot more than that. Nebuchadnezzar came to Babel. He publicly tried him. He made a big, massive stage, and he put him on the stage, and he had a trial, and he tortured him in public. He cut his flesh into kazayas-sized pieces, and he distributed this flesh all over Eretz Yisrael, and he had dogs and donkeys eat his flesh publicly all over. It was such a disgraceful death that, to some degree, served as a kapara, and that's why the Gemara does not say that he is listed. The Mishnah does not say that he does not have a chelik olam haba.
The Mishnah says,
so those are three, Menashe. So Yisham Shlem HaMelech. I think about Shlem HaMelech.
So why do people who use the name Eliyakim, they call, if he was such a... Why do they call people?
Good question. I don't know. Yeah, I know someone Eliyakim. I don't know. It's a good question. He was a very evil person. So why do they call Eliyakim? I don't know. It's a good question. There must be some good Eliyakim. It's awesome. I don't know.
It's a question. Like Menashe, Ben Yosef was also.
Right. Menashe was so. So there must be some good Eliyakim. Study the Ishaya, take the Ishaya Tanakh and go, I'm sure we'll find the good Eliyakim. There must be. Okay, so this is what happened to. Okay, let's see a few more Rashi's. Let's just see. Vayim loich of Yashar. Okay, what did I say over here? Okay, Ushuv Zashana, Shehigla Yahyakim. That was a year later. He was king for 3 months and 10 days. A year after Yehoyakim was exiled, he appointed his son Yehoyachin as the new king. But first he took Yehoyakim to Galus together with Im Klei Chemdas Beis Hashem. Dvarim Hachamudim Oysam Lokach V'Asher Hiniach Ad Galus Tzidkiyahu. The remained other kelim that remained in the Beis Hamidrash until the Galus of Tzidkiyahu 11 years later. Oz 11 years later Lokach HaKolim B'Melachim Beis Meforish Sheyotzu Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda in Melech Bavel. Yehoyachin Melech Yehuda, it says there that he went out. Sheyoyachin Melech Yehuda al Melech Bavel. This, what he's referring to, is another medrash that when Nebuchadnezzar came back, okay, remember he exiled Yehoyachin, and he died on the road. He appointed Yehoyachin in his place. Nebuchadnezzar returns to Bavel. He tells his advisors what happened. The advisors tell him, King Nebuchadnezzar, you're a fool. You appoint his son, the son will rebel. So he says to his advisors, you're right, I made a mistake, I'm going back. As he comes back, it says in the Medrash, Klal Yisrael, the people living in Gushan, were frightened. They saw him coming back, and they sent a delegation, the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin asked, is the time come to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? So they said, no, I'm not here to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, I just want your king. I want to take the son of Yehoyakim with me. I want to exile him. So they went to Yehoyachin and they told him, give your life up in order to save. This is a very big halachic dilemma. You got to do this. When an enemy comes and says, we just want one person, give us that one person and we'll leave you alone. If you don't give us that one person, we'll kill the whole city. Are the people of the city allowed to hand over to deliver one person to save other people? So this is a very complicated question. But here the people went to Yehoyachin and they told him, give yourself up. Give yourself up to Nebuchadnezzar, and by doing so you'll save everyone else. And Yehoyachin said, no, I'm not giving myself up. Too bad. I'm not giving myself up. So it says in the Medrash that the people, they forced him. They actually took him. They chained him up. They tied him up. And they delivered him over to Nebuchadnezzar to save themselves. So that's what it says. That's what Zalim before Shayotza Yoyochin Melech Yehuda al Melech. Well, he went out. Doesn't mean he went out willingly. Doesn't know. He didn't go willingly. He was taken by force.
There's no Shaila, because it's a specific person.
Not so simple. Even with a specific person, it's very. I don't know the issue. It's very complicated. I don't know. Vayimlech et Zedekiyahu, he appointed to kill Achiv, his brother. Achiv shall Yehoyachin. When it says that he appointed his brother, does not mean the brother of Yehoyachin. It means his uncle, the brother of Yehoyachin's father, which was Yehoyakim. El Yakim Yehoyakim, Yehoyakim v'chein, vayimlech melech bebavel es Matanya Dodo. It says in Sefer Melachim Dodo, his uncle, Tachtov, Vayasev Melachim, it says that Shemo Tzidkiyahu, he changed his name from Matanya to Tzidkiyahu, like we are in the first chart. Shemo Tzidkiyahu, Dodo Shel, he was Dodo Shel Yehoyachin. Vayasara, now what do we know about, we didn't do the mitzvah, we'll do the mitzvahs tomorrow, but what do we know about Tzidkiyahu? He also wasn't so good. Vayasara, Mahu Hara, what was the exact words of Yirmiyah? Vayomer Yirmiyah el Tzidkiyahu koi aman. Many people don't know this. Yes, the average person about the Beis Hamikdash, the Chubayis Rishon, and they don't know Yirmiyah, they'll say, oh, Hashem, we had no choice. Hashem decided to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and it had to happen. Not nuchach. You read the psukim; it says it's a very interesting point. Koi amar Hashem lokei tzivakos lokei Yisrael im Yotso Teitse, if you will go out and you will surrender, if you, Tzidkio, as the king of Klal Yisrael, will go out and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, Ad Doeg Ani Es Yehudim V'Goymer, the pasuk goes on to say, I don't know what the pasuk concludes, but he was told to surrender. Had he surrendered, then the Mikdash would not have been destroyed. And this was considered to be an act of rebellion by Tzidkiyahu, not to listen to the Navi and not to surrender, and that's why it was destroyed. Besides this sin, there was nothing else besides this. And there was another thin sin. The sin was that he violated the Shuash. Nebuchadnezzar told him not to reveal to the world that he eats living animals. Avol bito avoisav, but concerning the abominations, avodazara, and all of the terrible averus of arayos, the hanimsa olav, things like the tattoo that was said about Yehoyakim, al Yehoyakim loy hora lasos, that he did not do. Who told me this perish? Mipi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Meshulam, Zecher Tzedek Levracha.
This is very interesting because historically, tattoos were either done by the, let's say, South Sea Islanders,
yeah,
the kings. The whole royal family, 16th, 17th, maybe in 15th centuries, all were tattooed.
Yeah,
you check it out. Oh, they were tattooed, and of course sailors who went to this area. Like that, the Amchot was not tattooed. This started in America in the 60s, whatever.
Look it up. I'll bring you to
Google.
Interesting. Okay.
But to say that,
that's what it says. You have to go look what it says in Yirmiyah. You study what it says in Yirmiyah. I believe it says there. It would have been very different. The possibility is that it would have been very different if he would have listened to Yirmiyah and would have surrendered. They would have been Golas. They would have been taken to Golas, but people would not have died in the numbers that they did, and the Midrash would not have been destroyed. And things would have been very different. We don't know what would have happened. But he did not listen. This was his only sin. Otherwise, he was not an evil person. He was a tzaddik. He served Hashem. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Asher Hishvu B'Elokim, Kimefurish, Omar, Emorno Lebeis Hamori, tell the rebellious family, the Goymer v'chol ha'parasha nemer al Yoyachim, the entire parasha there in the Yecheskel is concerning these last two kings. Vayikach malka v'sarecha vayavei oisam eila bavela ze Yoyachim v'siyaso vayikach mizah malucha vayichrois oisabrit ze tzidkiyo. Those two psukim there in Yecheskel are referring to the Chomei Tzamin, referring to these two kings, the Golas of Yechonya, 11 years before, and the Golas of Tzidkiyo. We mentioned this in the Megillah. We mentioned the Golas of Yehoyachin. Yehoyachin, which means this point in time, with him went the Chorosh v'Hamasker. They set up, the Talmidei Chacham set up, they prepared in Golas for what would come. Pasuk Yidal Gam Kol Tzur HaKoyhanim Ulohoyros Es Yisrael Kitosiv K'chol Asher Yodeschem HaKoyhanim Halavim Uloi Kahanim Hayodos Lumchais El Osori HaKoyhanim Hayecholos B'yodam Lumchais Uloi Michol. Here Rashi tells us the reason why he says here the Sori HaKoyhanim. I saw in the article he says it's the only place in the entire Tanakh that Koyhanim are called Sorei. This expression is unique. The Sorei HaKoyhanim. You have all over Tanakh, there are the Sorim and there are the Koyhanim. But this combination, the Sorei HaKoyhanim, the leaders of the Koyhanim, is one of a kind. And Rashi explains the significance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complaining not every Kohen has the power to give Musar to Klal Yisrael that they should do Tshuva and not do Averis. But the Sorei HaKohen, the leaders of the Kohanim, it was within their power to make a Macha not to do Averis, and they chose to be quiet, and that's why the Pasuk here blames them. They contend Hashem with abomination, the Shehidus with Shleim. L'shakein Shemoyisham L'Oilam. This was the place HaKadosh Baruch Hu set his name to be forever, to rest his name, and here they contaminated this makom. Okay, the rest of Rashi's and the Mesudas Rishon will do tomorrow. Very possibly we'll finish tomorrow Divrei Hayamim, and then Amir Tzashem on Wednesday we'll start Eiv. I have already here this Sunday on the shelf, the Eiv. I thank everyone for participating in the cost. I have some leftover money, which I'll keep, I'll set aside until Amir Tzashem the next Sefer. Oh, I said, die, die, I said. Oid chazoin lamoy.